broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 27th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt Cosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. Last hour, we talked a lot about Brexit. If you want to check that out, please do. We also talked about Dr. Dobson says that Donald Trump is a baby Christian. We also talked about Sam Bushman resigns from the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We part amicably, by the way. We talked a lot about Brexit, though. Sam Bushman said the real battle is nationalism versus globalism, liberty versus slavery, peace versus war, and God versus man. At the heart of it all, is dishonest fiat money and the worldwide fraudulent banking cartel, a.k.a. the Federal Reserve. Kurt Cosby says it's the kingmen versus the freemen. And boy, is he right about that. There's a lot of statements regarding this. Even the British insiders are now saying, oh, the Brexit vote didn't count. All right. Anyway, Texas is talking about secession from Brexit to Texas. Or from Brexit to Texas, sorry. Corey Lewandowski, that's the guy that used to be the leader for the Donald Trump campaign, the campaign manager. Anyway, he joined CNN. So that's a summary of the last hour. Wow. I mentioned that because we're going to be talking about a lot of different subjects today. And I want to make sure you know we covered all that. If you want to listen to it last hour on your Roku player, you can get it done. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel. Or you can go to libertyroundtable.com and listen to and or download the archives. Available just for you. Free, baby. All right, Kurt, Dateline, Oregon.
Well, that's right, Sam. A little more, they say, fallout. This is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece. And, it says that the voters there in Harney County, Oregon, are going to participate in a special election. Yeah, it'll be tomorrow. This will be to decide whether to recall, County Judge Steve Gratzy. We always kind of call him Grasty, like nasty. But anyway, Gratzy, who blocked efforts by activists to hold a public meeting in a county building during last winter's protest occupation of the nearby Malheur Wildlife Refuge. A resident of the Burns area had put in a request to rent the building, where supporters and critics of the protest would be able to express their views in a public forum. But the Mr. Gratzy, the highest-ranking administrative official in the county, denied that request. This was one of many gestures Judge Gratzy, that led to a backlash by supporters of Ammon Bundy in the protest. He's, by the way, according to the story, expected to win the recall election. I guess Brexit was expected to win as well. That's it.
Kind of interesting. I hope they reject Grasty. Yeah. I hope they get rid of Steve. Steve was a problem there. And part of the big issue was...
Is it Grasty or Gratzy?
It's Gratzy, Kurt.
Oh, okay,
come on,
good.
You're totally
right. It's
just kind of fun to call it Grasty, but you're right. It's Gratzy. Yeah. Now, I don't want to say Grotzy, but anyway. This guy, Kurt, the problem is that the leaders of the Occupy at Malheur, you know, Ammon Bundy and Lavoie Finicum and others, they wanted to be heard, Kurt. And they wanted to be, they wanted to discuss. They wanted to go to court. They wanted to do things to try to get the Hammonds out of jail.
Huh.
And this Steve guy was one of the big rejectors of that. Yeah. And that's kind of the problem we have here. And I don't think we would have been at the state we are had maybe they've been listened to a little bit. There's ways to work through some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways to resolve it. And I think if we had a constitutional sheriff of the county, I think if we would have been a little more peaceful about this, we maybe would have had a completely different outcome, Kurt.
Yeah, maybe nobody died.
Time will tell. I hope the people reject. What's that guy's name? Grazzi.
Grazzi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, anyway, I hope that they can let that guy just, you know, retire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let him go home and enjoy his, you know, I was even thinking the phrase would normally be his well-deserved, pension or whatever, but I wouldn't agree that it's well-deserved.
I hope we don't give that guy a pension, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but I guarantee he'll be getting one.
You're right. Unfortunate, but you're correct once again, Kurt. All right, we're going to dot the country. We talked about Texas. We talked about Oregon. Now we're going to bust out and go to Wisconsin, Kurt.
Well, here's a Liberty News Daily piece, and, you know, you'd think, like, for example, this is America, Sam, where people are, we think it's all cool, I mean, some people do, to kill little babies, I mean, even when they're ready to be born, because of, choice, et cetera, don't you know, and I guess some prisoners who basically don't want to eat are being forced to eat. Now, the Liberty News Daily piece says, Wisconsin prison system orders force feeding of hunger strikers. Now, this is where we, here in America, where we can have, assisted suicide. I mean, that's okay. You can kill the babies. You know, that's perfectly fine. But then if a prisoner doesn't want to eat, man, you've got to teach them a lesson. Now, apparently, Sam, the way this works is the procedure in which they feed them, it consists of placing them in leg irons and cuffing them so they're escorted to a restraint chair, where they're strapped down and lubricated. They put a lubricated feeding tube up their nostril and down their esophagus. So, wouldn't want a prisoner to assume room temperature is rushed.
So let me get this right, Kurt, because I'm kind of slow.
Yeah, I know, Sam, but
if you want to protest and not eat, to make a point, we're going to force feed you in the name of what?
Freedom.
In the name of freedom. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, that would be
now,
probably so.
If I want to commit suicide,
yeah,
then I can starve myself to death. I can even have people, like, participate in assisting me in you know. Yeah.
Doctors will do that.
Doctors will help me do that. Yeah. So all these guys have to do is, instead of just saying we're protesting, they're just like, hey, we're on a suicide mission. Then they'd leave them alone.
I don't think so. These guys, are a special group. Apparently,
isn't it weird though how that is though? Think about that. Strange, but wow, right?
Yeah, I guess they say that prolonged solitary confinement is classified as a form of torture by many human rights advocacy groups, and the same they say is true of the practice of force feeding to end a hunger strike. I guess former Soviet dissident Vladimir Bukovsky, who endured several forms of torture at the hands of his KGB captors, said that force feeding may have been the worst he experienced. Now these three inmates of the Wisconsin state prison system, Laren McKinley, he's 61, by the way, Norman Green, 44, and Cesar De Leon, he's 34. They've been engaged in this hunger strike to protest the practice of prolonged solitary confinement. Now, how long would you say that, if somebody really is a rough person and they, did something wrong, made the warden mad, how long would you say they'd need to be in solitary confinement, Sam?
It's hard for me to even say. I'm not so sure that solitary confinement's the answer.
Well, anyway, this one guy, he's been in it for 25 years.
Oh, that's probably fitting for the crime. You know?
Yeah. Well, anyway.
No, I'm not convinced that solitary confinement really makes sense in most cases, and I think it's done just to ratchet up the hostility, Kurt. In most times,
really?
That's not going to benefit anybody. It's not, you know, once in a while, if it's for somebody's safety, I kind of get it. But for the most part, I'm not so sure that solitary confinement is the answer. It's more used as a political weapon than anything else, Kurt.
Check with old Sheriff Joe, and I'll bet you that wouldn't be the case, Sheriff Joe.
Well, you know, I'm not for waterboarding either. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. This story Kurt mentioned before, but I saved it because I wanted to give it more time. Sometimes we just mention a story, give a little teaser, and then we delve into it a little bit more in another broadcast. This is no different. So you got this idea. Wisconsin prison system orders the force feeding of hunger strikers. Well, then this story, maybe these hunger strikers, maybe they ought to decide to eat something, Kurt. What they could do is they could chew their Pop-Tarts into the shape of a gun. Then what would happen? By the way, the question in the news is that a reason for suspension? If you were to take a Pop-Tart, chew it into the shape of a gun, Kurt, what, suspension for that? What would happen if the hunger strikers chewed their food into guns, Kurt?
Then they'd be, a lethal weapon, of course, there in the prison system. But a Baltimore area boy, according to the Deseret News National Edition, this boy, by the way, is 7 years old. Anyway, he was suspended back in 2013, and now he's lost his appeal in court. According to the Washington Post, the boy, who's now 11, yeah, that's right, became a poster child for humorless, overreacting school officials when he was sanctioned for having chewed his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, and he told his classmates, "Look, I made a gun." I guess the incident provoked nationwide attention and prompted the Florida legislature to pass a law specifically preventing schools from punishing children for brandishing a partially consumed pastry or other food item to simulate a firearm or weapon. Can you see this like a piece of bread, Sam? I mean, you just bite that thing just right, and that's a gun.
How?
Well, I mean, you know, boom, boom. Your sandwich, you know. Anyway, it seems to me that schools need this Robin Ficker. He's an attorney that represents the family. He told this to CBS News. He said, "It seems to me that schools need, with all their expertise and experience, they need to know how to deal with the seven-year-old second graders without putting them on out of the educational setting."
You know what I think somebody needs to do, Kurt? You know how they have like graham crackers and or animal crackers in the shape of dirt? They need to just have gun crackers in the shape of a gun, all animal crackers.
Yeah.
You can just sell those dudes. You know what I mean?
That's right. And then he went on to say they need to deal with them rather than just throwing in the towel. If they can't deal with 7-year-olds, how can they deal with 17-year-olds? Now, that's the end of his quote, by the way. Now, I would say they need to just, you know, ramp it up, you know, just get more people out of there, I hope. But, you know, anyway, I guess the case has moved slowly through the legal system, you know, with the whole speedy trial thing, Sam. I mean, it only took 4 years. Last year, the Maryland Board of Education ruled that the student had a long history of behavioral problems. I mean, he was seven. It should have had a long history anyway. You know, it was like 7 years of it. That were the subject of progressive intervention by the school. He created a classroom disruption on March 1st, 2013. And this resulted in a suspension that was justified based on the incident in question. And
now, there is good news about this, Kurt.
Uh-huh. What's that?
That kid's not going to be, I mean, if he's suspended, he's out, you know.
I know.
That means that he won't be taught any, you know, socialism and fascism and all kinds of whacked out things like boys need to go into the girls' bathrooms and stuff like that. He's at least spared from that for a few days, so.
Yeah, good point. They say in this story, they say, at the time of the original suspension, the hearing officer who denied the appeal supported the school's contention that the Pop-Tart gun was only the last in a long line of disruptive incidents. Yeah, this kid was a real problem. They went on
to say, articulate what he did, Kurt? Like, was he chewing gum or something?
As much as the parents, he says, as much as the parents want this case to be about a gun, it's rather a case about classroom disruption from a student who has had a long history of disruptive behavior. This is according to the Washington Post. He asserted that the suspension came as a result of disciplinary problems the boy had had, and not just because of what he did with the breakfast pastry. What I think is kind of interesting, Sam, just imagine this evil kid. I mean, they should have had him drugged up for sure. I mean, that's how to deal with these 7-year-olds.
And don't tell them to do that. They might just do it, Kurt.
That's exactly what they do, isn't it, Sam?
Yes, sir.
He went on, according to the Post, and said, had the student chewed his cereal bar into the shape, we used to call those granola bars, but anyway, I guess they call them cereal bars now, into the shape of a cat and ran around the room, disrupting the classroom and making meow cat sounds, the result would have been exactly the same. Okay. If Yeah, but if he would have, couldn't have given him a swat because that would be politically incorrect. Sam.
Well, if he would have, you know, chewed it into the shape of some kind of a sexual body part, then he'd probably get praised.
That would
probably
be okay,
promoted to
yeah.
the sexual education department in the government schools. Kurt.
Good point. If the court is correct, the story says, and the boy's suspension was justified given the totality of the circumstances, it will probably make no difference in the storyline. And then they go on to say that the legend of the Pop-Tart gun suspension may already be as fixed in the public mind as the infamous 1997 case of the woman who sued McDonald's after being burned by a coffee spill, in which a jury awarded the plaintiff $2.7 million in punitive damages. By the way, that was later reduced to $640,000. Anyway, there you go, Sam. Pop-Tart gun. In the news.
Well, Kurt, I wish that the United States government was shipping out Pop-Tart guns. But no, my friend, quite the contrary. Mm-hmm. The headline says, weapons shipped to Jordan by the Central Intelligence Agency, a.k.a. the CIA, and Saudi Arabia that were intended for Syrian rebels. Well, I guess they were systematically stolen, Kurt.
No.
By Jordanian intelligence officers and? Well, they were sold to armed merchants on the black market, according to the New York Times.
Well, that old.
Now,
thing,
by the way, that's according to United States officials and Jordanian officials.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the deal. While they're, you know, after a boy in America for chewing a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, they're literally arming to the teeth our enemies. And by the way, several of those guns now have been used to murder Americans, Kurt.
Well.
So you got that going on over there in Jordan. And then in America, you got Operation Fast and Furious, where our border agents are getting shot and murdered by, you know, thugs, drug cartels armed to the teeth by our government. It's just beyond the pale, folks. All right. Now, they're asking a fundamental ethics question, Kurt. You ready for the ethics question of the day?
All right, go ahead.
You got these driverless vehicles going on now, right?
Yeah.
And they're smart. You understand that, right?
Of course they're smart. I mean, they couldn't be dumb.
Smart cars, haven't you heard of that?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question here, Kurt. This is serious now. Don't mock this. Should your driverless car hit a pedestrian if it would save your life? So now what they're doing is they got to program these cars, Kurt. You know, the cars only do what you tell them, right?
Yeah.
So you got to program these cars to decide ethically how you would handle this, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now your car's just rolling down the road peacefully and some pedestrian dude walks right out in front of you now.
Yeah.
Now you have a choice to hit the pedestrian or slam into the median, the cement thing. One way you're going to die, the other way you're going to kill the pedestrian. What do you do, sir?
Well, here's where you have to analyze, hey, which one's more used to society? I mean, you know, you've got to just figure out, hey, who's paying the most taxes, you know,
so you
all
say
that
it like this,
stuff.
If it's a Hillary supporter, you take your own life. If it's a Trump supporter,
yeah,
well, take him out. No, is that how it is? Should your driverless car hit a pedestrian if it would save your life? What kind of intelligence do we put into this, huh? We'll talk about it in a whole lot more in seconds. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
After the killing of rancher and activist Lavoy Finicum last January, fellow activists devoted to his memory set up an impromptu memorial at the spot next to Oregon's Highway 395 where Finicum was fatally shot by Oregon State Police troopers. On Father's Day, supporters from several states, including Utah and Wyoming, assembled at the site where Finicum's widow Jeanette urged them to keep his memory alive and challenged the continued ownership of Western lands by the federal government. The U.S. Forest Service describes the roadside memorial, which has disappeared several times, as illegal. For several weeks, two volunteers have maintained a campsite near the memorial. The nearby Harney County Sheriff's Office has charged the volunteers with third-degree criminal mischief, an offense that could carry a $5,000 fine. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, voters in Harney County, Oregon, will participate in a special election on June 28th to decide whether to recall County Judge Steve Gratzy, who blocked efforts by activists to hold a public meeting in a county building during last winter's protest occupation of the nearby Malheur Wildlife Refuge. A resident of Burns had put in a request to rent the building where supporters and critics of the protest would be able to express their views in a public forum. Gratzy, the highest-ranking administrative official in the county government, denied that request. This was one of many gestures by Judge Gratzy that has led to a backlash by supporters of Ammon Bundy and the protest. He is expected to win the recall election. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So we find out while they're busting a little kid under zero tolerance for chewing a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and suspending him in the government schools in America. You got the United States government under Operation Fast and Furious, arming drug cartels to the teeth. And then we find out that our American people are being killed by the drug cartels. Then we find out the weapons shipped into Jordan are being systematically stolen and used to shoot Americans, because the CIA decides they need to arm people in foreign nations is beyond the pale. Then they run around and say, you and I can't have a gun to defend ourselves because people go berserk in gay bars. I mean, it's crazy talk. And now these same ethically challenged wackos are going, hey, should your driverless car hit a pedestrian if it would save your life? Kurt, I don't want these people programming my vehicle at all.
Oh, Sam, don't worry. They'll take good care of you. I mean, especially in your case, I mean, you'd need to go ahead and assume room temperature, you know, whereas the pedestrian would need to be saved, you know, that kind of thing.
But you know what, Kurt, you know, though? I don't often think that it's an and or an or, an A or a B.
Uh-huh.
What if you really trusted in God and you really did your best? Might you avert that? And might
choice
you at least
C, you mean?
Well, might you in your mind, okay, let's say that I'm an intelligent person doing my best. I might say a quick prayer to God and turn my wheel, and I might maybe not kill the pedestrian. I might save everybody's life, might be an option. The other thing is, at least if I were to die, you could intelligently say, Sam, who was in the car, tried to save his own life and tried to save the life of the pedestrian, a moral decision, but he didn't make it. He did his best, but he didn't make it morally. I'd be on the right side. Whereas if I pre-plan, who are you going to murder here? I think it's a whole ethically different question than saying, can we try to save life at all costs? And maybe we don't accomplish what we try, but we can sure try. All I'm telling you is there's a difference in intent and motive and desire and an effort here, Kurt. And so I don't like the way the question is framed, and I choose C. But that's not a choice here. Let me say it again. Should your driverless car hit a pedestrian if it would save your life? They don't say kill, because, you know, but that's what they mean. And I'm saying that I don't like to decide whose life I'm going to save. I agree it. Sometimes you have to. And that's kind of part of the problem with abortion. For the most part, I'm against abortion. But when the life of the mother is truly in jeopardy, and a family is faced with, hey, the baby dies, the mom dies, both die, neither die, you know, some would say, well, trust in God and see what happens and leave it up to God. I agree with a lot of that. Some would say, stand for pro-life. Why don't you pray that they both live and take a chance and hope God will save them both? Some would say, kill the baby and preserve the mother. But all those are pro-life stances, doing the best you can to make an ethically wise decision. I think that's the side we ought to be on in this discussion, Kurt. How can we preserve the most life? And that's the right answer in every case. And even if you die trying, you know, what about that?
Imagine that, Sam.
I don't know. It's just kind of my crazy way of, you know, running around like a terrorist. You know?
Yeah, that's your evil
now
side.
They got another ethically baited question for you, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand the nasal flu vaccine, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, it's just one more of their ways of, you know, protecting us against our will, you know what I mean?
Another way to compromise your immune system? Yeah. Well, anyway, they say this, Kurt, now, the nasal flu vaccine spray is ineffective and should not be used in the upcoming flu season. That is the recommendation.
You should still be made to buy it, right?
Of the Advisory Committee on Immunizations. I guess that's an organization that, you know, advises the CDC and others and stuff like that. They're saying, don't do the spray, Kurt. It's not effective this year. You got to get the shots, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, I agreed with them when they said, don't take the nasal spray. It's not effective. I started to agree spray. Until they said, take the shot instead. Then I disagreed.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Any thoughts on that, Kurt?
Well, I just leave the stuff alone. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, but once again, we're going to bring the God factor into this picture and ask you a simple question. Do you really believe that he created, you know, man and woman and, you know, little children and all this stuff? And then, you know, he was hoping that the scientists would just figure out a way to inject the, you know, 50 different types of vaccines so that you could live a happy life, you know? Just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I just saw an email from the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org is their website, or 909shot.com, I think it is. Anyway, they are talking about how aluminum is one of the most dangerous toxic metals in vaccines.
Or as some people call it, aluminium, huh?
Yeah, it depends on, you know, where you're from on how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, interesting. But they say don't do the spray. It's not effective. Boy, do I agree with that. All right, Donald Trump, Kurt, must be listening to Liberty Roundtable. Did you know that?
Why do you say that, Sam?
Well, because remember how he loaned $50 million to his campaign and we're like, hey, you know what? The first thing Donald needs to do is turn it into a gift, not a loan, so that people know that he's serious, that he really will fund his campaign, and people don't feel like the money they donate will be, you know, taken back by the Donald to pay himself back and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he did just that, my friend. Headline says, Donald Trump to convert $50 million loan into a contribution. Boom. Done. Next. It's amazing how many things we talk about Donald actually does, Kurt. Now, I joke. He's probably not listening to Liberty Roundtable. However, it does illustrate that whether you like or dislike Donald, fact is, he does a lot of things that we even recommend he do, Kurt. More so than any other candidate I've ever seen. Even more so than Ron Paul, Kurt. I mentioned a lot of things I thought Ron Paul should have done back in the day, and not many of them did he listen to. But Donald listens to a lot of the good ideas. Even if they come from somebody else and he doesn't get them from us, obviously these are wise ideas that are out there, and Donald does more of them than you can imagine. It's surprising, actually.
Yes. Good point.
Anyway, I'm kind of pleased about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Converting $50 million bucks to a contribution. All right. There's a loose coins at airports scenario, Kurt, that you had brought up.
Oh, yeah.
It means the funds for the TSA.
So
here's what happens. They steal your money, okay, Kurt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Down there at the TSA. And there's a lot of money in this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say embracing the concept of keep the change. The Transportation Security Administration said that it collected more than $760,000 in unclaimed cash, mostly loose coins from travelers who had forgotten the money after passing through the tyrannical checkpoint in 2015, Kurt. Now, don't worry. The government makes every effort to unite you with your money.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. You can count on that.
Yeah? They say it doesn't surprise me that people leave change behind. Anyway, they go on this big old discussion, but the bottom line is literally hundreds of thousands of dollars ends up being left behind. And I don't think it's that people really want to leave behind their money, Kurt. I think it's just that the agents are like, move along. Grab your, you know, you're stumbling with your shoes off and your pants down the ground and you're trying to get your computer. And then they're like, throw your water at you. And they're like, sir, you come over here. We got to investigate you more. And how do you end up getting your money back when you're doing all that stuff, Kurt? And they're like, we make every effort.
Good point.
Wow. Yeah. But the interesting thing about it to note is it's literally in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it just means more money for the TSA, Kurt.
Yes.
Aren't you so generous?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't want those guys out of a job and without their, you know, proper amount of cash. I mean, you know, it's just, we'd hate to see that.
Yeah, and did you see the story? It came out several days ago, but I wanted to bring it up. We had it on our list, Kurt. The headline says, federal judge strikes down subsidies for Obamacare.
Ooh.
By Richard Wolf, Greg Report, and Jane O'Donnell over there at USA Today brought the piece forward. Did you see this thing?
I don't remember this one.
Well, it's a pretty good story. They say an important feature of the Affordable Care Act. Well, because deductibles are rising, they say. Under the law, subsidies are available for people who earn between 100 and 250% of the federal poverty level. Okay? For a family of four, that's about $24,000 to $61,000.
Yeah.
And anyway, the judge says no. Rejects all that. Federal judge strikes down subsidies. Brock's getting spanked at a lot of turns this time, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure hate to see that. I mean, it's just sad, isn't it?
Well, but he's still there to abuse us, so beware. Liberty Roundtable in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
North Florida, North America, and you too, Babylon. Are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic, but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. There's weird stories in the news everywhere. And so federal judge strikes down Obamacare subsidies. That's good news. Now, I guess there's a Dutch doctor in the news, Kurt.
Yeah. Sam, you know, doctors are doing different things that I remember. It seemed like I remember they'd say something like, first do no harm, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a Liberty News Daily piece, and they're reporting that a woman in her 20s, I mean, you know, she's basically past the, you know, prime of her life. I mean, she's already in her 20s. I mean, they say she suffered post-traumatic stress, depression, anorexia, and hallucinations. Sounds like she spent way too much time at the doctor's office to me. But anyway, this was, they say, as a result of suffering childhood abuse. And so the answer was clear to them, Sam. I mean, they euthanized her by a lethal injection because the physicians, the doctors, decided that her problems were just incurable. This is reported by the London Daily Mail, and they reported that the woman who began to show these symptoms of severe psychological distress 15 years ago, let's see if she's in her 20s, so what, when she's like 10, was described as incurable by her attending psychiatrist. Boy, you know, I would say you want to stay away from that psychiatrist. Other physicians demanded a second opinion, and she underwent intensive therapy that appeared to produce results. That approach was abandoned after independent consultants evaluated the woman and once again pronounced her a hopeless case. Describing the case as horrendous, liberal British parliamentarian Robert Flello, I'm sure that's said properly, observed, it almost sends the message that if you're a victim of abuse and as a result you get a mental illness, you are punished by being killed. That the punishment for the crime of being a victim is death. This
well, depends
case,
on what kind of mental illness
he
you have, Kurt. If you're struggling because of abuse, right, then you're crazy and you got to be, like, snuffed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there's another story here that kind of illustrates, I think, how their agenda. Gender-confused boy, frustrated that non-gender-confused guys won't ask her out.
Yeah, they're frustrating, isn't it?
Well, Claire, she's a teenage, I mean, well, Claire's a teenager from Virginia, Kurt, and Claire put on a bikini, went strolling on the beach with a friend, hoping to attract the interest of teenage boys, and I guess Claire got a bunch of phone numbers and stuff like that, started talking to some guys, and, well, the problem is, straight guys just can't get over the fact that Claire's got male anatomy still intact, Kurt. So Claire's complaining in a BBC documentary entitled Young, Trans, and Looking for Love.
Okay.
And,
boy.
You know,
I'll tell you what. up is down, down is up, and left is right, and all that stuff.
I mean, the problem is this boy doesn't know we can't get physical, and so, you know, I got to finish my sex change operation.
Okay.
Now, that stuff, Kurt, you're not going to get euthanized for that.
No.
Not that I think you should. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is that's going to be celebrated, Kurt.
Yeah. Good point. Wow.
So, you know, gender-confused boy, frustrated that non-gender-confused guys won't ask her out.
A little frustration.
Now, why are they calling that boy a her, though? Isn't that a psychosis to do that? I mean, it says gender-confused boy here, and then ask her out. How does that work?
I know it's a little confusing, or really confusing.
I got the answer. Let me tell you what you got to do to get this figured out, Kurt.
Yeah, I thought you might have a solution.
Well, you could use your Mission Impossible exam spyglasses, Kurt. You know what I mean? All I guess Thai students are busted.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were Thai students were caught using Mission Impossible exam spyglasses. Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a Bangkok story. Thai is, in this case, not spelled T-Y. T-A-I? But, this is T-H-A-I.
Oh, H.
There was a top medical school or college there, and they caught some students using these spy cameras. They were linked to smartwatches, and they were using them to cheat during exams. What some of these social media users compared to a plot straight out of a Mission Impossible movie. They tell you the name of the people, and they posted pictures of the high-tech cheating equipment.
But let's explain how this works, Kurt.
Yeah.
This equipment's kind of nifty, if you ask me. Now, they had a wireless connection between their glasses that they were wearing and their watches, and then, you know, other people that weren't taking the test would beam the answers to the watches, and then it would, you know, be ready to go.
I'll tell you what, man, these guys, I guess the trio paid $800,000, well, in baht, that's $23,000, in dollars, each to the tutor group for the equipment and the answers. You know, there's real money in education, isn't there, Sam? You know, it looks like the team did it in real time. Thailand's Channel 3 reported on this. And, of course, by the way, you know, they wouldn't want anybody else to do this. So then they probably tell them exactly how to do it. You know, bottom line is there's a lot of ways to get
medical degree. No, I don't support the cheating, Kurt. In any way.
No.
However, I do say it, these people aren't gender confused, though, Kurt.
Yeah, and I would say this. These guys will probably get maybe a CIA job or, you know, maybe, you know, some high-level, you know, government job. I mean, we need good hackers like this.
You know, they're probably going to create a new division in the military, Kurt, called the Rape Corps.
Oh, boy.
And, you know. They could join that, you know, or whatever.
By the way, they say last year the World Bank said improving poor quality education was the most important step the kingdom, that's the Kingdom of Thailand, I guess, could take to securing a better future. With one-third of Thai's 15-year-olds, they call them functionally illiterate. Lacking the basic reading skills to manage their lives in the modern world.
Hey, these people weren't functionally illiterate, Kurt. No. High-tech put it all together, got her done, you know?
That's right. That's what I'm thinking, these guys.
Wow. It's kind of like how they tell you that all these terrorists are, like, just living in a cave with no cell phone. And then they're like, hey, they're attacking the highest protected networks in the world. And it's kind of like, what? How are these guys doing that from their caves, you know?
Good.
They can hardly put a sentence together and can't write, but yet, by golly, they can hack in and just do it. It's just weird.
Yep.
The stuff we're told, you know. But anything to sell a lie, I guess, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah. Good point.
Trump says boost minimum wage, increase taxes on the wealthy. And then people criticized him and he kind of backed away from that, Kurt.
Hmm. Yeah. I thought maybe he'd do the minimum wage needs to be $100 an hour. Then everybody could spend time at the Mar-a-Lago, you know, and all his different resorts, because, you know, we'd all have lots of extra money by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they increase taxes, increase the minimum wage, increase everything, all you got to do is add a zero to everything, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. Then the Shangri-La is here again. Mm-hmm.
Just weird. Again, just weird stuff. Yeah. People just don't understand. The only answer for money is to go back to honest money. Honest weights and measures, as the Bible calls it. Honest money, as I call it.
There you go
currency.
Again,
that's
Sam.
The answer, folks.
Talking about honest money and honesty and truth. And, I mean, that'll
turning to
work.
God.
Yeah, I mean, how in the world?
Maybe I ought to just focus on a quick payday instead. I mean, if everybody got a quick payday, all of our problems would be over.
Oh,
boy. Not. But isn't that what they kind of want you to believe, Kurt?
Yep. That the good is bad and bad is good. And, you know, anyway.
I mean, society's just full of that hogwash.
Yes, it is.
So well, I guess there's an IRS agent in the news, Kurt.
Well, yes, that's right, Sam. Well, according to the WorldNet Daily piece, they say it may be an old scam, but apparently it's still a very live and a very effective one, as at least 3 WorldNet Daily staff members have been targeted with it in recent weeks. Now you ask, what's this scam? Well, the potential victim receives a message from a computerized voice to call the IRS immediately about his case file. The worried caller, why would they be worried, Sam? I mean, it's only the IRS. These are part of your government, your servants. But anyway, the worried caller then is informed by an agent that a criminal case has been filed against him for defrauding the IRS. And if he doesn't immediately make a payment, police will show up at his door. The taxpayer then is instructed, I just can't even believe that anybody would even stoop to believe this, Sam, but the taxpayer then is instructed to go to the nearest drugstore and to purchase prepaid credit card through which a payment can be made to satisfy authorities. The IRS is trying to warn Americans that its officers would never make such a phone call, but many terrified
citizens. No, they'll just throw you in jail and take everything you have and ruin your life for 50 years. They'd never do something like that.
Oh, Sam, these are your servants. These are the people that
love you.
Well,
then they better
you.
Start acting like it. Next time when they come over to audit me, I'm just going to say, why don't you guys go get my dinner?
Yeah, you know? Good point. Get that done real soon.
But really, we wouldn't possibly make you go to the drugstore and get a card to pay your debt. We'll just fine you and put you in jail and just ruin your life forever. You'll never get away from us. But we wouldn't do that.
We're from the government. We're here to help you.
Not. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure. Hey, thanks.